Hello and welcome back to the show. So I am super excited here today to be joined with my guest, Chris King. Chris is what he likes to call himself an executive witch doctor, and there's good reason for that because Chris is a peak performance primer and he helps people reach seemingly impossible goals that they have set for themselves and their organizations and their teams as well. And I think it's super important to be digging into some of that today. And showing you guys just how you can reach that impossible and really get to where you want to get to in your life and your business and create an abundant lifestyle that I'm sure everybody who is listening to this and even not listening to this wants to create. But without further ado, I want to bring Chris on my show. Chris, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me. Appreciate being here. Yeah, I see that's the thing. I took a beating by the glass wall is that I walked into the other day. Beautiful Class A building, and I was not paying attention. So anyway, yeah, thank you for having me. Appreciate it.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Thank you for being here, even on the basis of having a recent injury. So
Right. Well, I'm hurt, not injured, right? There's a difference.
that's true. That's true. But Chris, man, so I'm super excited to have you on. And before we dig into anything at all, I'd just love to kind of get you to share your background a little bit because you did come from quite an interesting background and overcame a lot of adversity to get to where you're at right now. So I think it'll be good for our audience to know a little bit more about you if they haven't done their research yet. So do you mind just kind of sharing a little bit about you, how you got to this point, and just overall, what was it that prompted you to get into this field, if you will?
Yeah, thank you. I grew up in a very privileged neighborhood in the west side of Los Angeles in a very scary house, and the pillars of my childhood were grief and rage and abuse and addiction and absenteeism, and those were kind of the pillars of my life, which, as you can imagine, not a solid foundation. And so after a couple of divorces, one of which to a woman with bipolar disorder, and a lot of career pivots, I discovered along the way that there's a science to making seemingly impossible things happen. And when I was 21 years old, I decided I wanted to be an NCAA ice hockey player. And the only two things standing in my way were that I was failing out of my junior college and I had never skated before. But fast forward 18 months, I was leading the team into the state championships. And so, I have kind of a history of making seemingly impossible things happen. And then later on, through my education and through the organizations that I've worked and collaborated with, I learned the science behind all of this. And it's all about mindset, it's all about energy fields, it's all about psychology, neurochemistry. And if you align all these things, you can make magic happen, hence the witch doctor title that actually a client gave me. So yeah, we do magic. That's our jam.
Yeah, I like that. And I like that, that's something that you're focused on, which is helping people make magic in their lives, right? But like you mentioned, there's a science to it. So if you really break it down, it's not magic, right? It's actually a formula that you just have to learn and apply in your life. So let's talk about that a little bit. I think a lot of people, when they're thinking about impossible goals or thinking about just their life in the next year, 5 years, or 10 years, there's an ideal version of what that looks like. And then there is, in their mind, a reality of what they can get to, right? So, as far as getting to that ideal version of being able to accomplish everything that you want to accomplish, whether if it's in your business or your personal life, what exactly is that formula? How does that science look? And where should somebody start in not just going after it, but actually creating it in their lives?
Yeah, the first thing it starts with is really an attack on the ego. You got to be willing to be wrong. The way humans operate is that we will create, validate, and recreate the reality of our understanding. And we are completely limited by this. If you think you're going to grow 15% this year, that's probably what's going to happen. And unlikely that you're going to grow more than that because you've already set that in your consciousness. There was a in 1954. There's a great story about what I'm talking about. It's called the Bannister Principle. Throughout the 1900s, the world was obsessed with the idea of watching a human being run a mile in under 4 minutes. And the best science and the doctors at the time said it's impossible. It'll kill you if it actually happens. Well, in May of 1954, this guy Roger Bannister did it. And after decades of people trying to do it and failing, his record lasted 46 days. Because the moment Bannister crossed the finish line, it became possible to everyone. And once it becomes possible in your mind, now it shifts the energy field and what you can accomplish. So the first step is you got to be willing to be wrong about everything you think is real.
That's very powerful, actually, because one of the things that people don't think about when they're setting these big goals is breaking down. I think you would agree with this, breaking down a pre-existing limitation or idea of what they think how the world works, or how they work, or what they can accomplish, right? So is that something that you would say people should need to be working on, is before they even set a goal that they may even perceive to be big or perceive to be quote unquote impossible, they need to really think about what their pre-existing perceptions and beliefs about themselves are and start breaking that down.
Right. You need to understand what is it you really think is real. And honestly, I don't dig around in my clients' past very much. I tell them, look, you've probably been through therapy. You've done a lot of stuff. Do you really want to talk about your childhood again? I don't really want to hear it. I know that sounds terribly insensitive, but I don't care. And it's not that like I'm insensitive. It's just that if we can skip that part, we're going to go a lot faster. And success loves speed. Money loves speed. And so if we can kind of skip all of the why question and all the mental, gymnastics around that, it's like, well, what is it that I'm holding in my consciousness here? What do I believe is possible? Because that's ultimately what you're going to validate. So if you can really stretch out and say, well, what if I'm wrong? What might be a way to do this? What, how, now we're activating a different part of the brain. And this is how we start to make the seemingly impossible become a reality.
Yeah, and that's very important, right? Because like you said, what you focus on is what grows, and what you focus on in your mind is what you're going to start looking for with, I'm sure you're familiar with it, the RAS system, reticular activating system, right? What you're looking for is what you're going to start seeing in the world as well. So one of the things that I've seen a lot of people do, especially, within the real estate industry, is they'll set huge goals, right? Especially I think I see this more with newer agents, who are newer to a specific industry or business. They'll set a goal, right, without the limitations that a lot of people who've been in the industry for a while and have kind of gone through it, if you will, but they end up not necessarily hitting that goal in the time frame that they've set for themselves. And sometimes they will set another big goal, sometimes they'll just kind of back away from it. So what would your advice be to people like that, who, maybe they've set big goals, but they're not necessarily able to accomplish it, and maybe this happened to them a couple times, and maybe they're feeling a little bit more defeated now, and they think that maybe, hey, this next year, let me set something a little bit more realistic, so that way at least I can actually accomplish it.
I would say the first thing is number one, if the people address these things in the physical world reality first, like, okay, here's my big, crazy, audacious goal. Now here's my strategy in the physical world to go after it. And you're addressing this at the wrong end of the how reality unfolds. The first thing I would say is you got to do is, do you really believe what you're telling yourself? Like, is this, I understand you might want it, but do you really believe it? Like, that's a very different question, because everything is energy, and energy vibrates in frequencies, right? And so when I start thinking about this is what I believe, that's the frequency basically that I'm at. I sound a little bit like a West Side hippie, but my old man's an electromagnetic compatibility engineer. It's all science, okay? So I'm not, this isn't the woo-woo stuff. So the first thing that the first step isn't set some crazy goal and then start developing strategies. It's what is the goal that you are currently holding in your consciousness as reality? Because maybe it's not, maybe it's not the thing you want, but it is what you're holding in your reality. And so that's why you're going to fail. The second part of this is understanding that there's a concept that we use called FISA, full investment with zero attachment. Like, I am fully invested in that goal. I am going for it with everything I got without being attached to the outcome. Because at the end, to your point, where it's like, now I feel defeated because I didn't get it. Well, now we're in a what we call a fixed mindset, and that shuts down the system.
Right, and that's something that I've seen happen over and over again, which is really good. Like you said, zero attachment to your goal, right? So being able to commit to something and commit fully into it and accomplishing it, but not attaching yourself to the outcome is actually what's going to get you to start start being more fully committed into trying to accomplish your goal, because at that point you kind of let things go and you just let things play out and you control the things that you can control. So, and if you're really into psychology, so is that the psychology behind that is, if you let go of the attachment to the end result, that actually helps you become more fully committed. And, you hear a lot of the, kind of a lot of the principles out there. It's like the less you try, the more likely it's actually gonna happen to you. Is that something that you would agree on, or?
Yeah, I mean, there are a lot of layers there. The think of when you're attached to the wanting of something, you are in the wanting and you are not in the having, right? So it's a very different energetic. There's something that when we are not attached and clingy and needy and grabby for something, then we're a lot looser. Right, this just opens up our field quite a bit more. It's sort of like, I mean, think about the insecure romantic partner that you had in your life, and they were just clingy and grabby and trying to hold on. And did that work out, or did that just make you want to distance yourself from that person even more? Right, or maybe you were that person. I've been that person, the insecure person that was grabbing on. And the second I let go, it was like then the thing started coming to me. We can get really woo here and talk law of attraction or something, but do you want to go exhaust yourself chasing after something, or do you want to draw it towards you? Like one of my teachers said something really interesting once. It was very poetic. He said, "Chris, be the star, not the planet."
That's pretty good.
Right? Because the star captures these things, draws them in. The planet goes around and around and around and around.
It's the if you talk science, right, that's the gravitational field, right? One has a larger gravitational field than the other smaller planets, right? The star is the one's pulling everything together. So, it's really hard, right? You see this all the time, whether if it's in business, right? An agent or somebody trying to chase after a certain amount of deals they want to do every year. Maybe it's a specific client that they're chasing after. And you see people really beat themselves over, whether or not they're going to get that client or get to a certain quota. And I think a lot of it does have to do with, like what you're saying, the energy field that you're putting out there. They're exhausting themselves chasing after something else. So what I've seen is it's really hard for people to break that habit. Right. It's still like they understand consciously they're not supposed to be doing this, but they somehow are they're still doing it. Right. They can't, it's really hard for them to stop. So, do you have any advice or any tips to actually break that habit? What are some things people need to be start, need to start doing in order to move in a better direction rather than stay within that cycle?
Yeah, I would say that in order to break the cycles, it's kind of, this is going to be grossly oversimplified, but break the cycle. Like it's like disrupt the patterns. I understand like the whole smiling and dialing thing, right? We have these ideas. We got to make 100 calls a day or whatever it is, right? What if you're wrong? What if you don't? What if you made 5 calls a day and closed 5 deals? Like that sounds a lot better to me, right? I don't want to call 100 people to get like a deal. I want to 5 people, 5 deals. I like that a lot more. So the science scales, personality doesn't, but the science scales, right? So the question is, what can you do differently? Let go of the idea of doing it right. Let go of the idea of doing it perfectly. Let go of all of that stuff. If you embrace the idea of doing it differently, this is going to open up different parts of the brain. It opens up the creative centers of the brain. So even like I tell clients that I work with, I say, look, it's not my job to be right. It's not my job to even tell them, give them advice. It's my job to be disruptive, because if they go down the wrong way and run into a door, right, then we know what the right way is now, right? So it's, but staying on the hamster wheel, grinding away, it's exhausting. So
It sure is.
disrupt the pattern, do something different, whatever that is.
Right. So just doing something different in your daily activities is actually going to help you create a new pattern. Is that what you're saying?
Right, because of the way that affects your neurochemistry and your psychology. I was doing what I call a living room show. It actually wasn't in the living room, but it was a real estate team, and they were a little contracted, the market being what it had been, and And they said, well, and they were asking a lot of questions about things. I said, you know, they said, how do you get somebody to stay on the phone or whatever? I said, I don't know. How do you get somebody to stay on the phone? What if you just called them up and you said, if you give me 30 seconds of your time, I will tell you the best, worst dad joke ever. Like I will stay 30 seconds on the phone for you because I want to. Like, there's no one way to do this, right? What is your way? I will tell you the magic, actually. There is one magic piece here. It's authenticity. The highest vibration we can measure in a human is authenticity. If somebody gets on the phone with me and I know they're trying to hook me, they're trying to sell me, they're trying to get from me to extract, I'm gonna hang up on them instantly, right? But if somebody is really in my service, is really there to, like, I want to have a fantastic 60-second conversation with you and maybe make you laugh, I'm like, okay, I'll give you that time, right? So there's no one way to do it. Whatever authentic way is for you, for the agent, for that's the way to start disrupting things.
Right. And then one of the problems, right, within any industry, but especially I think I've seen it in real estate, is there's always these trainers and coaches that teach their way, right? You have to say this. You have to plan your day like this. You have to do this, right? And it's not working for anybody. So that's not something you need to be doing, right? You have to figure out who you are and maybe potentially model somebody who is already successful, or is that still not 100% being authentic?
I mean, you, like I said, whatever works for you works for you, but is it energetically efficient? Does it feel good? And I get called actually from, I do a lot in real estate because I'm different. You know, we've had, I did the keynote for the Christie's International Real Estate Expo, and they brought me in because the last thing they need is another real estate trainer person. They just, like, the agents are smart. They know it all. They've been doing this. They are experts in their field. They don't need another jackass telling them, here's what to do, you know, here's my paint by numbers thing. And it doesn't even feel good. If you can do your thing in your way and have the kinds of results, then you're going to do it a lot better. You're going to have a lot more fun. You're going to have more of you in your own life, and you're going to be more successful. Like, if
Right.
their way works, great. But if not, you know, if it doesn't feel authentic, it's going to be a lot harder.
Right. And that's one of the things that I think a lot of new agents coming into the industry, they're getting told by really, like, I guess, like higher performers, like you can't just do what feels good, right? You have to be disciplined and do this and this and this and throughout your schedule. So I think there is a balance there between, just doing what feels good, right? Because everybody's going to be staying on their couch and playing video games or watching Netflix versus doing what feels good truly in your business and actually moving it forward and getting to the point that you're at. So what, like, is this just kind of a feeling thing, just feeling the energy and knowing it, or is there a way that people can actually somehow track that in doing what feels good, but also making sure that it is productive towards what they actually want?
Well, there's two kinds of feel good there. There's happiness and there's pleasure, and those are not the same thing. Happiness feels really good. Success is happiness. That feels really good. Pleasure is sitting around watching Netflix, doing whatever. That ultimately doesn't feel good. That's like eating nothing but junk food. Maybe it feels good in the moment, but long, you know, it doesn't take long before you feel like crap, right? So there is a focus. There is a discipline there. And I would say the thing about, like, motivation is, and as a quote unquote motivational speaker, my dirty little secret about motivation is that it's kind of garbage. Like, it's motivation isn't the problem. People say, oh, I'm just not motivated. What I hear is, I'm not connected. When you're connected to what you're doing, motivation takes care of itself. So the question is, what are your connection points? What lights you up about this? What do you love? And even the proven systems, right? What's the science behind those systems? What makes that work? Because again, doing something inauthentic is probably not going to work for you. So if you understand the science behind the system, you can create your own system with the same science, because that's, as I said, is scalable. Now you got your own magic, and you are different than any other agent. You're going to connect with your audience, and everything that is, the thing about authenticity is that it's the natural filter for that which is not for you. Your life gets a lot more efficient. You're batting 1,000 at that point.
Yeah. And I think a lot of people, they don't think about that, right? Especially in real estate. They don't, that's not what they like. It's not something that they understand consciously, right? That there's enough people out there and there's enough business out there that you don't have to work with everybody that comes along. For real estate agents, it's really common for them to chase after clients they hate working with,
Oh.
to chase after people that they would absolutely not have a good time even just speaking to, right? And they're always afraid to give up that deal because it's a $1 million deal or $4 million deal or whatever, right? And working on commissions like that. So I think that's a part of that problem and having to let that go. Another piece of that is, would you say criticism from peers, criticism from, perceived leaders and brokers, does that have to do a part to do with that as well, as far as, not being fully authentic because they're afraid. They're afraid what they're going to do is not going to work and people are going to, kind of boot them out of the industry.
Well, the difference between us, excuse me, the difference between a success and a failure is that the successful person failed a lot more. And they are going to say, if you do things differently, they're going to say you're crazy. They're going to say that's wrong. And this is what everybody said right up until the point where somebody succeeded, right? They said that if you drove 60 miles an hour, the skin would peel off your face. Like that was what we thought back then. So they'll only say you're crazy until you win. And in terms of letting go of things, there's a couple things here. Number one, the fear thing. So instead of thinking that we're letting go of this $1 million deal, think of it as creating space for the $2 million deal that you're going to get, right? This is about leverage, right? The other thing is the fear. Fear is survival based. It's contraction. If you're trying to grow your business, that's the wrong energetic dynamic. You're looking for expansion. You're looking for growth. Fear and contraction is survival, and expansion and growth is thrive, right? So these are diametrically opposed. You cannot grow from scarcity, contraction, fear. You got to be in excitement, in possibility, and really lit up about the thing that's coming in. So instead of being afraid of letting go of the $1 million deal, you can be super excited about getting the $2 million one.
Oh, yeah. Just like what people are saying, right? If every time you say yes to something, you're saying no to something else.
Bingo.
I love that. You're creating space for something bigger. You're creating space for something that you align with in your business and your life as well. So kind of going back to that, right? So breaking the fear of criticism from other people, is there a formula for that? Is it just like how much of that is just internally, you have to just be disciplined versus maybe getting the right information from the outside sources and maybe aligning yourself with accountability partners who also will drive you to be more authentic.
Well, people are going to criticize you for doing it differently, and they're also going to criticize you for winning. You're just going to get this. I would say that if you're everybody's friend, then you're probably not particularly authentic. You're not going to be liked by everybody, and that's actually okay. Like, not everybody is for me. I'm edgy. I'm irreverent. I say F too much. I get it. I'm not for everybody. Avi, who works on my team, he's sweet and kind and gentle. He has a totally different approach and he's magic, right? But Avi and I are just very different humans. And so, the client that's for Avi is not for me, and that's totally okay. And they might not like me, and that's totally okay. The second I start becoming Gumby and bending myself around because of criticism or somebody doesn't like me, now I'm going to show up in an inauthentic way. And now you don't trust me. I would much rather have you not like me than not trust me.
Wow. Yeah, that's very powerful as well. And people out there, right? There's a lot, I think, on just perceived responsibilities and burdens that they have. A lot of times they feel like they have to go after a deal or they have to do things a certain way because of these perceived, I guess, burdens and responsibilities that they have on their shoulders, right? Instead of just, like you said, I would rather have somebody not like them, right? Rather lose a deal than to kind of start changing themselves and start changing who they are and their lifestyle and their habits and right, just themselves as a human being, just to please a client or to please a team member or a team leader or somebody like that. But there's also a I guess like there's also a part of that where change can be positive, right? You can change yourself in a very positive way and it impacts your life, right? Changing your thinking pattern, changing your habits and different things like that. How does somebody discern between changing just to get to a result versus changing in a positive way? Because either way, you're getting to a certain result. It's just one thing is because you're trying to please somebody, and the other way is you're trying to better your life and create a better version of yourself.
Well, I think both things can be true, right? Like, yes, I do want to support somebody. I do want to facilitate the what they're trying to achieve in their life by really being in service to that person. And I want to succeed as well. I don't believe in, what I call like spiritual poverty kind of thing. Like, oh, I'm just going to do all this altruistic stuff. It's like, well, but I can't serve if I'm not making money, right? And you don't have to make these changes. Like, it's not like you have to trash everything that's going on right now. It's like maybe you get one the next one thing that comes into your field that you could say no to, right? Because we got to get our needs met first, right? You got to make your monthly, you got to pay your bills, like you got to meet your needs, right? You got to get your needs met. But maybe there's one thing that just doesn't feel good, doesn't feel right. It feels like a self-betrayal. In my experience, nothing good comes from self-betrayal. Even if you win the deal, there's something dirty and gross about it. And it just ugh. And there can be a lot of resentment there. So maybe there's one deal that somebody could walk away from to create space for something new. Maybe, make a gentle rolling change and try it out. Like, start to fine-tune these things. You don't have to blow up your whole life like I did to reinvent yourself. It's easier if you don't, actually, I think. I blew it all to Kingdom Come.
Hey, but is there a power in that though? Is there a certain amount of, I don't know, a certain amount of like power that you feel when you do blow your life up
Oh
like that? I
yeah,
know it's not easy.
and I've done this a couple of times, and I've kind of done it unconsciously, which creates a lot of collateral damage. It's sort of like blowing up a casino, an old casino. You better do it strategically, or else you're going to make a big mess. So that's what I did with my life, is I made a big mess. But what happened was, there I was standing, like, career gone, marriage gone, house gone, like everything was gone, and there I was standing in the wreckage of my life, and there was this weird sense of relief, like, I don't have to try and hold this together anymore. I don't have to live this inauthentic thing. I don't have to build or create or maintain something that really isn't true. And there's kind of a flicker of hope in that, and a lot of relief. And from that place, my energy was different. My psychology was different. I was very relaxed. Like, I'm not in a panic anymore. Everything I was afraid of has now come into being, and now I can start anew. I got nothing left to fear. So it's a very powerful place.
Yeah. And I think for people to understand that, right? Whether if they are trying to blow it up completely in their life and just start over like you did, or taking baby steps, right? Which I think most people are going to start, in kind of in that pool, right? Taking it one step at a time, maybe just firing that one client or saying no to that one agent that wants to join your team that really is expecting too much from you, right? Or something like that. And there is a, like you said, there is a sense of relief in that, right? Because as busy professionals, especially I think in real estate with so many different aspects and moving parts, and you're getting your time, you are always on somebody else's schedule, it seems like, when you're a real estate agent, you're getting pulled here and there. And it might be, you might be working 8 to 12 hours a day, but you're not really moving towards like all going all the way back to, talking about setting goals, you're not moving towards that life that you want to create. And I've seen this so many times happen where an agent will come into the industry wanting to accomplish one thing, then 2, 5, 10 years down the line, they're caught up in their business, right? They're actually bound by their own business and their own choices so that they can't actually go after what they want. And that's, it's kind of a very sad thing to see, right? And people need to start thinking about that, right? Going back into why you started into real estate in the first place and how you can actually go and accomplish the things that you want, and not get bound by other people trying to pull your time away from you.
Yeah, if you let other people run your business or your life, they will. and they'll suck at it, right? So, and one of my teachers said something, and my clients actually tend to be professional women in some way, shape, or form. That's kind of my running joke is, you know, call us when you know a professional woman who's overwhelmed, burned out, kind of irritated with her husband. That's my client. you know, the different coaches work with different client populations, but one of my teachers said something that at first sounded really funny, and then I sort of heard the echo of it, and it was profound. And his name is Dr. Robert Holden, and he said, "If there's something missing from your life, it's probably you." And right there, I was like, huh, "Oh, like it would, like yeah, I am the missing piece of my life." And so yeah, my business and my life should not be running me. It should be the other way around.
Right. And that takes a little bit of thinking for people to hear that. If there's something missing in your life, you know, it's probably you. And there's a lot of people who they are missing themselves, right? They are not present in their life. They are not, they're living for somebody else, right? They are a cog, like the graphics and the memes and the comics that you see, they are a cog in somebody else's machine, right? They are on the hamster wheel and they're running somebody else's engine, not their own. And it's a scary realization once you see it.
Yeah, you shouldn't be getting leftovers of your own life. You know, we see this more statistically through my organization. We see this more with women than with men because as a man of my generation, right, I'm pretty high on my priority list, like top three all the time. But women in that, you know, 34 to 54 range, dead last on her priority list. Everything else comes first, the house and the job and her mom and the car and the husband and the kids and all the things, right? The house. And so you've got to be the focal point of your life and, you know, conduct the orchestra. Don't play all the instruments.
Yeah. Is there, and you brought up a good point there, which is there are certain demographics of people who, and you see this, right? You see this all the time, that this is, you know, we all have people like that in our lives or friends and family members. Is there, I know you don't like to talk about like a lot of stuff that happens in the past, but is there a reason for this? And the only reason why I ask is because kind of understanding, I guess like understanding how that happens will make it potentially easier to break those habits. But is there a reason for that? Is there a reason why, you know, women in their 30s and to the 50s, they keep themselves at the bottom of their priority list.
Well, I mean, there's a lot of societal things there, right? It's kind of, you know, for the last many decades, it's been the woman's job to take care of the house and the kids and the family and all the things. And then even when women went to work, it's like, okay, fine, you can go to work, but you still have all these responsibilities. And even like my best friend is, she's a mom, got two young kids, you know, 8 and 10. Dad is a great dad, participating husband, you know, fully engaged. And still, the bulk of everything falls on her shoulders, right? And she's got a full-time job. She's an attorney. And so I'll tell you the way that it sounds in most people's lives is have to. I have to do this. I have to do that. I have to do this. I have to do that, right? And the second you change that to a, I am making this choice, right? Now, I understand it feels like a have to, like I have to because my husband won't, or I have to because, you know, the boss says I, you know, whatever. Ultimately, you are saying yes to that, which means you are making that choice. And the second you recognize this is, in fact, my choosing, now you're in a place of empowerment, right? And we can start saying, well, okay, I'm going to let go of the have to, and I'm going to recognize I'm making a choice here. What other choices are available to me? What can I start to do so that I'm not getting leftovers of my own life? Like, how can I start to reorient? If you're just in the have to, then you feel like you have no power. The second you're in a choose to, you have power.
Yeah, that's very, not to sound redundant, but that's very powerful, right?
Right.
You're putting the choice in your own hands there. So something that I really want to kind of get your take on here is, you know, how much of that, right? Because a lot of people, when they say have to, I think it's because they don't realize that it is a choice. It just comes so naturally to them, right? And even if you try to explain it to them, there's going to be a resistance or like, no, like you don't understand. You live differently than I do, right? I have to do this. Maybe you don't, but I have to do this, right? This is my responsibility. How much of that can be influenced from the outside with somebody else, like maybe a leader or maybe a different family member or a friend or a coach like yourself can influence another person to realize that it is a choice versus how much of that just has to come from, an internal realization or enlightenment from themselves.
I would say as much as somebody is going to let you. I've had clients tell me that, more times than I can count. You don't understand, you don't get it. And that's actually what a client said to me last year. She said, "You don't get it, you don't understand." I said, "Really?" 4 months later, she said, "You've doubled my revenues, you eliminated my stress, and you saved my marriage." Yeah, I get it. Trust me. You actually don't get it, but I'm going to show it to you. And once I do, the light goes on. I'm going to bend your reality. Well, actually, you're going to bend your reality. The second you put yourself in a position of empowerment, even right now, somebody's going to listen to this and go, "That's, crazy." It's like, okay, but okay, fine. I'm crazy. What if you're wrong, though? Like, just entertain it for a second. What if maybe there is a way? Now I just hit a different center of the brain, right? It's just getting your psychology, your physiology, and your energy all working for you instead of against you. And all of the have to, I can't, yeah, but that's not going to open the doors.
Right. And the more you think about that, right, the more you're in that and the deeper you get into it, right? The more you dig, the deeper the hole's gonna get. So,
Right. Yeah, I was talking to a team, this just a couple of weeks ago, and changing sentences in their emails. I said, "You ever send that email that says just checking in, just following up? That's the worst email you could possibly send. It's just nobody's ever going to respond to that. Just checking in. It's like it's super weak." And so when we start reorienting how we send these emails and these communications, not only are you affecting your own brain, you're affecting your client's brain, the potential client's brain. You're literally hitting a different center of their brain and opening them up to a different thing. And this just makes things happen a lot quicker.
wow. Yeah. No, absolutely. That is something that people need to start thinking about, which is, how do you come off, right? Not just how you come off to other people, but how do you come off to yourself, right? If you're always telling people, "I'm just checking in," or "I'm just following up," or "Oh, it's just me," well, you're not putting a lot of importance on you, right? And you are very important. It's right. You should be very important to yourself, at least. Because that's the only person in your life that you can control. So.
I mean, you're a ninja, you're a badass, you know your stuff, you're a professional. It's like just checking in. It's like, hey, where are we on this? Like, I mean, and again, there's no right way to do it, right? I get very Nietzsche on this. You have your way, I have my way, but the right way, the correct way, the only way, there is no such thing. It's a question of working or not working, effective or ineffective. Even if it's effective, is it efficient? If it's efficient, is it effective? You start asking these questions. But it all starts with kind of what we started with is, what if I'm wrong? What if there is a way? What if I could achieve that? What if I can let go of that client? What if I like challenge what you think is real and you will change what is real?
Yeah, absolutely. Thinking about what is your reality, right? And I love what you're saying there. And this is something that I always say as well, and I always agree with, which is it's not there's no right way to do something, right? It is what works, and that it's that simple. Is it working for you? Is it efficient for you? If it is, then it's working because it exists, because it is happening, and that is the reality of things, right? You don't have to get into, I guess, all of the deep philosophical of what's right and what's working and what's not. It is, if it's working, then it's working. And you really don't have to think about too much other than that, because you have exactly what you need. And it's just a matter of, like you are saying, scaling the science of it and making it work for you. So.
Yeah. Is it working, and do you like the way that it's working? Like, it might work, but I might be like, oh, this is awful,
Right. Yeah. And it's the simplification of it, I think, makes it a lot easier for people to be accepting of being authentic, being accepting of doing something different and trying something different. So I think just to kind of wrap up a little bit, I'd love to kind of get your take on this, which is kind of going back a little bit into the leadership aspect, into the influence aspect. There's a lot of real estate team leaders out here. There's a lot of real estate agents who perceive themselves to be leaders, right? They're leading their clients. At what point would you say it's time to stop, right? At what point is it time to stop trying to influence somebody, trying to stop helping somebody realize that what they want to do is possible? At what point do you feel that it's actually influencing you in a negative way by trying to help somebody who doesn't want to be helped? Is there a point to stop, or
Yeah.
how do you find it?
like it's a, what is it? Hire slow, fire fast kind of thing. And anybody will tell you, well, maybe not anybody. Most people will tell you, I think you hire for culture first. Like that, you can teach somebody the widgets. You can teach somebody the systems, the processes, the concepts, the science, the whatever, right? You can teach people the widgets. You can't teach culture, as one of my teachers said. I can teach you how to do this. I can't teach you not to be an asshole, right? So you just can't have a culture problem, if the culture of your organization is around teamwork and yes, let's go and rah rah, you can't have somebody going, that can't be done, some curmudgeon in the corner. It's great to have people that have different ways of doing things, different thinking and processes, but if your culture is around, yes, we can, you can't have somebody saying, no, we can't. That just there's it's an alignment problem. I say in my work and in my life, there's no good or bad, there's no right or wrong. There is aligned or misaligned with the outcomes, with the experience. And it's that binary. Is this aligned or misaligned? Think even my own thinking, is it aligned or misaligned? If I think, I want the romantic partner of my dreams, and I think I'm not good enough or I'm not lovable. Well, clearly that's misaligned. So that's a luxury I can't afford.
Right. Yeah. And the people need to realize that, right? Whether if you're working with a client as an agent and they're not aligned with what you're trying to help them do. There's a lot of people like that, right? You are helping them try to get into a house they like, trying to get their house sold as quickly as they can, but they're just not listening to you. Or if you're a
Right.
team leader, right? And we see this a lot. They're trying to grow their team, but you might even get somebody who's a great producer, right? They're bringing in a lot of income, but they're not aligned with you. You're not able to help them, right? And you have to realize when that line is and when to stop and when to just say, hey, this is not working for you or for me. Let's save each other's time, right? Let's not waste each other's time anymore and move on. And I hope it doesn't have to be something negative, right? You never want to burn the bridge, but it's just not working, right? This person and you, the interaction is just not working, and there needs to be some kind of rearrangement.
Yeah, it's when you're done when you're done. It's that's and that line is going to be different for different people. So, that's working or not working.
Absolutely, man. Well, Chris, I want to thank you for being on the show today. You shared a lot of very insightful and interesting topics and just a lot of insights into how we behave, what works, what doesn't work, and how to make our lives work for us, right? And stop living for somebody else and according to somebody else's opinions. And that's really how you get to those ideals and dreams and values that you're really craving and are looking to create in your life. So I appreciate you. For our listeners and viewers who are tuning in that want to know more about you, want to follow you, or maybe even want to work with you directly, what are some of the best ways that they can reach out to you? What are some of the best ways for them to kind of follow you in your journey?
Thank you so much. We set up a special webpage just for your listener and for your show. It's our website is statusflow.net/freelifeagents. So statusflow.net/freelifeagents. And that's the best way to get a hold of us.
Awesome, man. I appreciate that. And we'll make sure to leave that in the description down below as well so that you can get to that and work with Chris if you would like to. But other than that, Chris, I want to thank you again for being on the show. And before I let you go here, is there any last thoughts or tips you want to leave with us here before you go?
Just thank you so much. I'm so grateful to do this work. My options in a previous, as I started this, were get into real estate or get into this, and I thought I could make a much bigger impact doing this. So it's really great to support people that that align. So thank you for the opportunity.
Absolutely, man. Thank you for being here and thank you for tuning in, and we'll see you on the next show. Take
Thanks so
care.
much.